Hey, so I'm just going to cover a little bit of last week, and then I'm going to go forward. Because I got comments on certain points, and I want to make sure I bring them home. So let's do this. Hi, family. Hi, good to see you all. Okay, so we're talking a lot about expectation, and we kind of started with a real serious revelation, and I don't want that to just slip our mind so quickly. So we'll do it again. I talked about those of us who've been alive long enough to say, and let's see if we could do it again, how many of you have said in your lifetime you never expected ever to see a black president? It's the whole house. And based on our experiences in life and what we saw and the way this world is run, we made a logical conclusion. Correct? In our mind, that made sense. We said, maybe Hillary would get in there before they would let Barack in there, but we was definitely not, especially with a name like Barack Obama. I mean, his name wasn't John Smith. We was like, there's no way that's happening, right? It's just not going to happen. When God began to speak to me about my expectation, I won't go to the whole last week's message, he brought that point up. He said, but yet you take your kids, and all of you have young kids, and they don't have that expectation because they were born with a black president in office. So Caleb is not going to have that thought. It's not common sense. It ain't not far-fetched for him to perceive a woman being in there. Because Hillary's that close. Understand the dynamic of what gets sown into us by life. I don't even want to say the devil. Let's not even put him in there. Let's not even give him no props. All right? Let's just talk about life itself and expectations and the way we were raised and how and the things that our parents spoke over us. We grew up saying a black man will never be president, not just by what we saw, but by what we heard by people over and older than us speaking down into us. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. Now, here's the thing God said to me. God said, yet, if you speak to most black people who feel like you feel, that have been Christians their whole lives, that said, there's nothing too hard for God. Huh? God can do it all. Hey, shamanamanamana. Yet you say, well, could there be a black president? They would go, no, I don't think so. So in reality, we still did believe God had limitations. We really didn't believe that God could do anything. Oh, we can't have this conversation? We didn't really believe that. And God began to deal with me about that. Okay, now you're good with it. But for 50-something years, come on. That wasn't a reality. So God said to me, and what else is there in your life that you love confessing God can do everything, but you really don't believe I can do? I tell you, I'm going straight in. I'm not going to tiptoe around. I had to stop and examine myself again. I'm talking about me. If it don't fit you, fine. But all of y'all put your hand up on the black president thing, so that means all of y'all guilty, so you're all getting it. So God said to me, what am I wiping, honey? My forehead? Okay. All right. My wife got me tissues, so that means I got to obey. Right. There you go. Good? All right. All right now. She approves. That's all that matters. Now, watch this. If there are things in our lives that have just become the facts, I want to talk about that for 2 seconds. My 2 seconds can wind up 20 minutes, but you know what I mean. Let's talk about that. I've shared with you guys many times the revelation God gave me, the difference between facts and truth. What is the difference between facts and truth? The difference are facts are conceived by understanding and experience. Truth doesn't change. Oh, stay with me. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are saved, are healed, and made whole. That's a truth. You ate wrong, you did this, you did that, you got a disease in your body, it's incurable. Those are facts. At the time that it's explained to you, it's a truth. The way the doctor explained it and the way he broke it down diagnostically, it's a truth. But the truth of the matter is, it's just a fact. Because if it can be changed, it's not a truth. I don't care how you flip it, you still breathe in oxygen. Come on. And what goes out? Carbon dioxide. Out it goes. Now, nothing has changed that. They say, yeah, but they can make babies through a test tube now. Not without a woman's egg and a man's sperm. You still need the two elements that make that real. Just because you figure out how to take it outside the body and do it, you still ain't reaching in the air and pulling out stuff and poof, there's a baby. You still need the truth. Huh? Now, let's go back to me now. So I'm sitting there now, 57 years old, questioning my whole Christian walk. Because I confessed and preached that God was limitless and never examined the fact that I totally doubted that God could really do everything. Anybody here with me bearing witness with this so far? Only two people? Okay, work with me. It ain't a lot of us. Let's participate. Now, I start searching my insides because tell me if you can bear witness with this. You can nod your head, shake something. But tell me if you can bear witness with this. That made me have to go back and look at every scripture I've ever stood on, everything I thought I believed, and every faith word I've ever spoken, and question where I really stood. Because I didn't think that could happen. Now, here's the question. You ready? Why didn't I think it could happen? Let's not go with the basic answers. You know, we love to say, oh, forgive me, Lord, make it right. But we don't like to examine where it comes from. Because if you're not freed from it, you can't be free from it. Just trying to change your behavior is not changing the core of your spirit. Just trying to act right and live Christian-like doesn't deal with the root of where the sin or the doubt or the fear in my life comes from. These are things, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? These are things that Satan has strategically planted in and around you since you were born to keep you from fulfilling the purpose that God has called you to. Decisions you made that were bad decisions. These are things that were planted. These are situations and people that the enemy put around you. Negative friends to lead you the wrong way and to get you into the wrong kind of things. The people that's parents, meaning well, that kept telling you what you can't do. Why don't you shut up and be quiet? Why you got to ask so many questions? That was my thing that I heard my whole life. You talk too much. Why don't you shut up? Well, after a while, it worked. It hurt, but I learned to shut up. Not realizing that God put that gift in me to be inquisitive and ask questions and talk a lot because he had a purpose for that gift. So what gift is in me now that's still dormant? What giant in you still sleeps? What are you walking around singing, God can do anything except this? Because we have them. I just caught everybody on one. So we have them. Now, it's amazing to me if I could get in the mind of the kids, the Mitchells, the Josephs, the Calebs, if I could sit down with them and have a real deep talk with them and they could relate on that level for me to try to get inside how they feel about the fact that I always believed that there would never be a black president and they would be looking at me like, huh? Like I'm saying the stupidest thing that could possibly be said. Am I telling the truth? They would look at, if I said to them, a black man never going to be president, they would look at me with this dumbfounded look on their face and think in their little minds, this man is totally stupid. Now, wait a minute. So something happened that made a not 5-year truth, but a hundreds of years truth, a reality to us. Are we really the children of God? I ain't talking about we the original people from the motherland, all that. I'm not even talking about that. Forget that. I don't care what land you came from. You say Jesus Christ is your Savior. You quote the scriptures, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many of you have ever quoted that scripture in your life? Uh-huh. Are there some things then that he hasn't done? And then here's the question. How do we pacify that absence of God's truth in this area of my life? Well, it ain't the Lord's time. Well, the Lord works in mysterious ways. You never know what he's going to do. And we come up with all these justifications for our lack of ability to step in. Now, if God's word is truth, then truth can supersede fact and change fact. If a doctor said you got cancer, you got it. Most of the time, I would believe it's true. But those are facts. The healing of the Lord could come on your body, and all of a sudden, what was once a truth has now been changed, and you are now healed. It didn't make the other thing any less true. It just now that truth has been killed. Why? Because man's truth and God's truth are two different things, and we have a problem mixing the two of them up. What's true to man is true. There was a time that they said man can't fly. It would never happen. And to the Wright brothers, if they didn't steal it, did it. We know it's the Wright brothers. That's what history tells us. That's what his story tells us. So we'll just go with that. But it was proven wrong. Now there's a new truth. So why am I taking you through all of this? Let's get to the root of this. Did you learn something so far? There is a level of disbelief that lives in us all that, if unaddressed, controls our destiny and keeps us out of the greatness that God has called us to. So before I go any further with this message, I want to ask a question. Again, hands would be nice. How many of you feel like, Pastor, you're speaking to me right now because there's areas of my life that I feel like I know I'm supposed to do it, but something seems to just keep stopping me. That's a lot of people. Now, let's explore it then. Because if God says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he can still part the Red Sea. Through a man. He can still heal the sick and raise the dead. Through a man. I'm not challenging the fact that you have faith. Look at somebody and say, I know I got faith. So I'm not challenging the fact that you have faith. I know you have faith. We all in this room have faith. I'm challenging us to stretch it beyond what we become comfortable with. Because a lot of what we call faith is the ability for God to do for us what he's already done. I lose my job. I trust the Lord to help me get another one. Of course you do, because he got you this one. But the next level of faith requires from us, are you listening to me? One, a commitment. Two, are you listening? A responsibility by me to commit to what I've stood for and not waver. That's a challenge. That if a man, the Bible says, puts his hand to the plow and he turns back, he's not fit for the kingdom. It didn't say for heaven. People confuse that. He's not talking about heaven. The kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. He said, kingdom living belongs to those who commit to it and don't turn. Amen. If you believe God can do it, you believe no matter what happens. Amen. I want to meet President Obama. Not because I want to be in the presence of the black president and feel and take a picture with him and get his autograph. You care less about any of that crap. I just want to sit down with him and say, tell me what your thought process was when you set out to do this impossible thing. that everybody, you had to hear what we heard. What inside of you made you say, but I will? What made you keep going when everything I hadn't sure had to push you down and try to knock you out of it? And it's not like he was a seasoned politician that came all the way up the ranks and then ran for what? I never heard of this dude. Right, I never heard of him. I didn't know what he did before. Then we had Osama, and then they had Obama, and I was like, okay, the names are real close. Ain't no way he getting in. His name's too Muslim. And yet, with all of this against him, he had a commitment to a truth that took him straight to the White House. I don't know what his faith is. I don't know what his belief is. People will try to challenge, yo, he's part of the Illuminati, you know, this stupid Negro stuff that we like to get into, all this dumb mess that happened to do. And just want to say, if you're on YouTube watching them videos, you should be ashamed of yourself. Because the Bible says go into the world and preach the good news, which is the gospel, and no Christian pastor, nobody should be on the internet talking about conspiracies and Obama. I mean, Illuminati's and all this other bullcrap. You should not be engaged in that. The Bible tells you to stay away from conspiracy theories. We're not supposed to be caught in that. I don't mind if you like it and you like watching the movies about it. I love that kind of stuff. That's great. I love the Blacklist and them kind of things. But my life is not consumed in that. I'm more concerned about what Jesus wants to do for me, not what the upper 1% are doing. Amen. More people say amen. We don't need to get caught in that. Those are distractions. Those are things that keep you from pursuing your goal. Once you start talking about all the things that's keeping us down, you put your spirit in a place where you are kept down. You do it. Stop it. It's foolishness. Everything in my focus at this point in my life needs to be where I am and where I'm going and what I'm called to do and how God has expected me to do it. We don't have time for games. You can say, amen. That was a good one. Thank you, Pastor. That was good. Okay, listen, I do it myself. We need to be focused on the greater good. What are we put here for? You want to sit down and talk to people and make a YouTube video? Make a YouTube video about the Christ, the soon-coming King that's coming to change this world. Don't sit there talking about what the devil's doing, how busy the devil is, and what his people are doing. Why should you be upset? That's what they do. Don't keep telling me what evil people do. That's what they do. What you want them to do? Be Christians? If you acted more like a Christian. Lindsay was talking to me the other day and she made a comment. She said she felt that the fact that we got Trump and Hillary as our only choice for president was judgment on the world because of the way the world has taken itself. And I said, I beg to differ. It's not the world. It's the house. It's the church. It has nothing to do with the world. It ain't judgment on the world because of the world. It's a judgment on the world because of us. Christians don't want to hear that. But I'm going to back it up with scripture. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from not the world's, their wicked ways, I would hear from heaven and heal the land. So if the land is messed up, it's God's people that's at fault. It's either us, it's this one and that one. No, 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 no. It's you making them stupid videos. It's you. You watching on it. It's you. If you're not before the throne seeking God's wisdom, everybody gets in church and they want to prophesy to a bunch of Christians. You get these people coming to your church, they're supposed to be prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, prophets. They come there and they tell their little thing and say their little cliches over you. I see God going to do a great thing in your life. You don't need to be spiritual to say that. Anybody get excited about that foolishness? And I'm like, if you're such a prophet, where were you before 9/11? You're a prophet. Where were you to warn the world that this thing is coming? Come and tell us when the next terror attack is going to happen. And don't be standing there prophesying over people. I see God going to pay your bills. So God has been reduced to paying bills. This is the church. This is our faith today, that we have faith in God to do the ordinary. Oh, you're tight today. You're tight today. You're tight today. You want me to do some more, a little shouting or something? Like, listen, this is how I get down. We have a responsibility. We have an obligation. And our obligation, our responsibility is to be vessels for that power. I'm going to say it again. I got one amen. Just one from Kwame. I need some more. Our responsibility is to be vessels of God's power. That's our responsibility. Not God get me through one situation, out another, into a next one. Not God help me get through this one. Oh, now this one is falling down. So basically, you're not God's child or tool. You're his special ed kid that always needs, right? You're his special needs child. Where's the dynamic? Where's the display of his power? Somebody had to go and put the stick in the water for the Red Sea to part. Where are we? I'm asking us, I'm not trying to beat us up, I'm asking us to get out of the comfort of discomfort that we've learned to live in. Some of you are going to catch that tomorrow. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Let me know when you're there. All right, two. I need a few more. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, now if you got a red letter Bible, the letters are red. What does the red letters mean? Jesus is talking himself. Take no thought for your life. What will you eat? What will you drink? Nor yet your body, what you should put on. Is not the life more? I can stop right there, right there. Is not the life more? Is not the life more than what? Throwing the question out there. I'm asking the question. You may participate. Is not the life more than what? Jesus asked a question. Is not the life more? More what? Now, I know you can read it and cheat, but no, just give me some answers that just go beyond that. Is not the life more? More than what? Than what? Okay, I like that. Ourselves. What else you got? I didn't hear you. Worrying to pay bills is not life more than worrying to pay bills. And like more than ourselves, go ahead. Right, because as soon as you die, nobody knows, nobody cares. You're done. No matter how much they love you, once they put you in the ground a little while, you're done. They may have a memorial of you every now and then, but still, you're done. Life, everyday life, don't have nothing to do with you anymore. So we got worrying and paying bills. We got about yourself. What else we got? Obstacles. Isn't life more than obstacles? I like that. Go ahead. Be personal. Don't just try to say deep spiritual stuff. Bring stuff up, your emotional fears. I like that. Thank you, my dear. Come on, give me some more stuff. I'm staying right here until you do. More than what society is offering us. Okay, I like that. What else? More than the circumstances we face. Two more. Kev, you ain't got nothing. You usually always have something, Kev. What about you, Jerry? Isn't life more than, come on, something that you face regularly that's like, oh, it's a problem. Isn't life more than sickness? Being healed, right? Going to the doctor. Isn't life more than that? One more. You cheated. You took one. You already had one. Come on, little brother. Staying well. Isn't life more than staying well? That's good. I like that. Anybody else? One more. Come on. I get one more. Being happy. Isn't life more than just being happy? All of these things are good. Everything. But understand this. Some of you said negative stuff. A few of you said positive things. Jerry said being well. You said being happy. Isn't life more than just that? And still that question is a real question. Isn't life more than that? You trying to pay bills. You worrying about how you're going to get by. You be just being happy. I just want to be happy. Is that it? Isn't life more than that? I just want to be well. Isn't life more than that? Now, the question is, to some people, we'll say yes, but then I say, then what is the more, which I'm not going to do to y'all. I'm going to get less comments and no hands. Because a lot of people can't go beyond the more that if you've already accepted to be the reality. Yes, Jerry. I'm going to repeat it so it gets on the tape. Life is not given, it's the gift and how you treat that gift. Okay, so that's a more. So this, let's go with that. That's a more. Life is a gift. What do you do with that gift? Okay, that gift. Now, I'm going to throw some on that. Life is a gift to you to be a gift to others. Your life is a gift God gave to you, and then you're supposed to share that gift with others. But we have been taught, just like we've been taught that a black man will never be president, stay with me, that our life mode is survival and survival of the fittest. So we don't see life beyond our own comfort. We don't see life beyond our own desires and needs being met. We don't see the fulfillment of our life being a gift to others. Oh, no, I try to help people whenever I can. Notice the phrase, whenever I can. Whenever it's comfortable for me. I'm always there for you when it's convenient for me. So there's a mentality that we've adopted that limits the flow of God in us, thereby limiting our ability to have faith to believe God for greater things, because we don't understand what faith is for. Faith, God gave me the gift of faith to heal people so I can heal people, not so that I can have my own building Tylenol anointing in myself whenever I get sick. The gift of healing is not for me. I'm going to lay hands on myself. Hallelujah. I don't know if you noticed this. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't work, because it's worked for me. But I noticed that it works better when I lay hands on other people. Anybody from church understand what I'm talking about? All right. So if that's the case, God wants my hands on somebody else and somebody else's hands on me. But we've been conditioned. I'm believing God for a new job, a new car, a new house, a new mate. My kids to do well. What about the other kids? You don't want the other kids in the school to do well? Just yours? Wow. And you call yourself a Christian. This is something started years and years and years ago. I was leaving my house one day, and we live up in Pennsylvania, to come to church. And I did what we do. Lord, I pray protection over my house and da-da-da-da-da. God said, what about the other people's houses? Oh. Okay, I pray for the houses too. He said, yeah, but you didn't mean that like you did when you said it for your house. Wow. And that changed in me. And I would say that was about a decade ago, that when I leave my house, I pray for every house in the community with a real place. If I'm on the road praying for traveling mercies, I pray for, my wife will tell you, every car on Route 80, 95, every number I can think of as I'm driving. Let everybody get to their destination safely, Father. Heathen, saint, or sinner, Father God, watch out. And I began to do that because God began to show me. I didn't give you that gift just to look out for you. Amen. This message ain't going over as smooth as I would like today. I'm getting very, yeah, N-word, yeah. Keep preaching. But you're bear witness, yes? Our gift becomes stagnant because we're constantly thinking about how everything affects us. So he said, isn't a life more than, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to be, what you're going to drink and how you're going to be clothed. Isn't life more than that? Well, then I had to ask the question, God, you're saying it is, so it is. So help me identify the more. Somebody say, Lord, help me identify the more. Lord, help me to identify the more. Say it like you mean it. Say it to him, not because I told you to say it. You got it? Right? So he says, which one of you by taking thought, no, wait, I'm skipped. Is not the life more than meat or food, and the body more than clothes? Then you want to behold the birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't go through all these problems. They don't even reap. They don't gather food and put in barns, yet your Father feeds them. Are you not as good as they? Nobody corrected me because you'll believe that. Nobody corrected me. I read that verse wrong. Huh? You accepted that. You accepted you were equal to birds. You didn't correct me. I do that to see if you're listening. He said, aren't you more, not just better, much better. God said, birds don't have to worry about how they're going to eat. They don't have debit cards trying to keep their credit scores up. Yet they eat every day. God feeds them. God feeds them. They never worried about if a black man would be in office. Not their problem. God feeds them. Then it says, aren't you much better than that? Let me ask a question. Are you much better than they? Let me ask the question again. I got some of you lying in church. Are you not much better than they? I'm going to ask the question again. Are you not much better than them? Okay. Then how come you worrying about how you're going to eat? If you really believe that. See, I said I'm going to expose the things that we confess and we say we believe, but we really don't. I said I want to bring that out. You asked me to identify, you did, right? Okay, so I'm asking the question. If we do believe we are much better than they, and they don't sow, no toil, nor do they spin, and they don't sow and reap and gather into barns, yet God feeds them, aren't I much better, then why do I do all those things that he said they don't? So, Pastor, you saying we shouldn't have jobs and we shouldn't do nothing? I didn't say anything about what you should have a job and not have a job. I don't want you to go quit your job and then blame me when you get evicted. My point is, he's saying the thought of worrying. He's not talking about your action. He's talking about your state of spirit in the process of the things you do. I didn't tell one person don't have a job. He said, but why are you worrying about it? Why are you panicking about how I will provide for you? I will. Somebody shout, God will provide. Now say this, God does provide. I need to line up with that. He does provide. I had to change it from will because that we get back to that. Yeah, he will in his time, all in God's time, just waiting on Jesus. Really? You wait on Jesus? So he late? You there ready and Jesus is lost somewhere? No, God's always waiting on you. You're never waiting on the Lord. Stop saying that. Now, the scripture said those who wait upon the Lord, okay, that's not the definition of the word. The word wait is not a passive sit down and do nothing word. The word wait is an aggressive word. The word wait is the word translated from the word to serve. Those who wait upon the Lord is those who serve the Lord. Anybody got a problem with that? If you think I'm wrong, look up waiter. Do they not wait on you when you come to the restaurant? Do they come and sit down and wait for you to eat? What do they do? And based on how you serve them, they serve you, you decide how big your tip is. Uh-huh. Those who serve wait upon the Lord. That's when you renew your strength and mount up wings of eagles. Now, I'm just sitting here waiting for the Lord to move. That's not the definition. If that's what you've been doing, that's why it's not working. In my time of expecting the Lord, I serve. I can make sure I come back and top off his water glass. Would you like a little extra? That good? Just keep coming by the table every now and then. That everything good? You good with everything, God? Anything else I can get you? You sure? Something else you need me to do? Yeah, I want you to go down there and minister to that person for me. I don't even like that person. I do. Okay. That'll make you happy. I'm going to go do that. Is there anything else I can do? I want my tip to be nice. And consequently, it is. Because I've learning how and been practicing for at least a decade now how to be a better servant. Some of you have had me come and do things for you and work for you and all kind of stuff. Well, he's just nice like that. Not really. The normal me is I'm a loner by nature. I don't like a lot of people around me. When you all come up to the house and everybody's hanging out and having food and having a good time, we go to pass, that's a good time. If you ask my opinion, I would rather you stay home. My wife likes to do that, and so I inherited that by marriage. If it's up to me, I could be home by myself every day, and I would be fine. Now, I don't dislike people coming, but I did have to make the adjustment to my wife liking to throw her parties. Oh, did you bring how many people coming? And how long are they going to be here? Anybody spending the night? You know, and I had to... I had to learn, God, why these people's here, I'm going to serve them and I'm going to serve my wife. So I'll get in the kitchen and help her and I'll start setting up the table and doing all kinds of stuff. Wow, pastor like entertaining. Negatory. But it's an opportunity to serve. It's an opportunity to bless you. It's not about me. Somebody said, it's more than just me. It's not about me. You know? So it's an opportunity for me to serve and me to give the gift. If God has blessed me, aren't I to then share that blessing with others? And I don't mean money and stuff. It means just your skill and your gift. You're much more. God takes care of them, then he'll take care of you just the same. Well, I know I need to do this, but I don't have the money to do this. And did God call you to do it? Yeah. And I know he's going to make a way. I'm just waiting. Nope, absolutely not. You step out. Somebody needs to hear this today. You step out. Somebody sitting right there waiting right now to make a move and say they're waiting for God to show up with, nope, it ain't going to happen. You step out. You pray, you seek, you look, you step out. You step out. And then God shows up. Moses had to go to the Red Sea before God opened. It would have been nice if it was open already. God said, take the people to the Red Sea when you get there to be already parted. Just go ahead and cross. Don't worry about it. Everything will be right there waiting for you. No, you step out. And he stepped out for a nation, not just for himself. And sometimes when you step out, people are going to reject your effort. People are going to criticize your effort. People are going to say, are you up to no good? You just doing that all for yourself. I've had that happen to me. Anybody bear witness what I'm saying? And your feelings get hurt, and you say, well, screw them then. I'm not going to do it then. And God had to say to me, but you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for me. Didn't they say, crucify them to Jesus? Didn't they want to stone Moses? He came to get them out. They want to stone him. Just because you're doing what God called you, don't mean everybody's going to pick you up on the shoulders and parade you around town. Most of the time, it'll be just the opposite. They'll figure out years later. Oh, wow, this person was... You know, they usually wait till you die, and then they build statues in your image of what a great person you were. I think there's a logic to that. So you don't get to walk around and beat your chest about how great you are doing the work God called you to do. Let God take care of you. He'll take care of you. You don't need a bunch of people patting you on the back and telling you how great you are to be successful. How you liking this message? This is a little strong today. But we a meat church. We not no mashed potatoes. And listen. We're going to tell you real stuff. And if you want to use it to change your life and to change the life of people around you. I'm constantly being challenged by God. I'm constantly being accosted by God about what I think is real. And then after I get a good grip and good dose, I come and dump it right on you. I figure, well, if I got to get it, y'all got to get it too. I'm God. He did it too. I'm doing like Trump. Well, Bill did it. Listen, here's my thing. I ain't picking on nobody. I'm just being funny. Here's my thing. Vote for whoever you want. I ain't got nothing to do with that. Here's my thing. I have a gift. You have a gift. We all have gifts. We spend a lot of our time trying to figure out how to make everybody appreciate our gift. Spend a lot of time with that. A great deal of our life is wasted of us trying to get people to agree with what God has called us to do before we do it. Am I speaking to you? We waste a lot of our life trying to get people to sanction what God has called us to do before we're happy to or comfortable doing it. Who am I speaking to directly? I'm speaking to some. Okay. That gift can't be approved by man. It's between God and you. Now, once it happens, you know, people will go, oh, come on, go, I always knew, you know, I always said it was something special about y'all, you know, always. Well, where was you when I couldn't pay? All right, whatever. Thank you. But I can't wait for people any longer, especially at my age, to like me or sanction my gift before I go forward. I just have to do it. And I have to take whatever rejection comes with that. That's me. Again, I'm talking about me today. If it works for you, if God provided for these birds who just going about their business, then he'll take care of me. So he said, don't worry about that. Don't take thought about how you're going to eat if I called you to it. Don't take thought about how the door is going to open if I called you to it. Don't take thought about who likes me and who don't like me and won't give me a shot if I called you to it. The key is, how do I say this, Father? The biggest key is not can you or can't you do it. Because a lot of us sitting right here know you can. You just don't know if you will be accepted or appreciated or recognized. But you know you can. Am I speaking the truth to you right now? Put your hand up. Most of us know what we can do. We know. We just don't think nobody will appreciate it or accept it, but we know. We don't think we're going to get famous doing it or be able to eat doing it, but we know. We can do it. Well, God said, well, then here's what you need to understand. If I've called you to do it, I'll support the effort. But there needs to be an effort. I challenge you to grow your faith, not your ability to sit and wait. Now, some of you weren't here a couple of weeks ago, so I'm going to throw this thing out from a couple of weeks' message as a sentence, but this is how God started this conversation with me. You want to hear this? You want to hear this? Wave your hand at me. God said to me, and some of you heard it, some of you didn't, I said, God, well, I'm being patient. And God spoke to me, clear voice. I mean, sometimes, you know, you can feel God speaking on your inside, but sometimes you kind of almost turn around like, whoa, who said that? He said to me, what you call impatience is really complacency. You're comfortable where you are. Life is not challenging you. You're not worrying about how you're going to pay your rent next month. You're good. So you've gotten comfortable sitting waiting for me to move because nothing is coming at you on the other side. Do you constantly have to be accosted with issues to go forward, or can you just decide to go forward because I called you to do it? Do you have to be in trouble to move, Or can you just move because it's the urging of your heart? It's the call of your spirit. It's the scream in your inside saying, I'm called to be greater than this. I can't keep settling. Ooh, I know that spoke to somebody. I felt that spirit go out in the room. I'm greater than this. And my life is good. But it's not what I know I'm called to be. And God said to me, you're not patient. You're complacent. You're comfortable. And people can get comfortable in the worst of places. I didn't plan to go here. Backstory. I remember when I first got saved, I wanted to help the world. I wanted to walk up to every homeless person in the street and give them money. And I saw this guy laying in the street. He had a shopping cart filled with a bunch of junk and odd and ends and stuff. You know, he picked up, you know, he pushed around. And it's, you know, he had that homeless smell and all this stuff. And he's sitting there on the sidewalk with his cart. Now, me being a baby Christian, I don't have no wisdom. I'm just trying to help save the world. So I went home and I prayed about it. I said, God, I want to help this guy out. I want to bring him home, give him a bath, put some clothes on him. He looks about my size. Help him turn his life around. I could have been bringing the serial killer to my house, but, you know, I was young. And God protected me in my idiocy because he knew I was young. And I walked up to this man, and we talked a few times, and I liked him. I said, listen, bro, I want to help you. Gave him $20. Oh, he was like, oh my, you know. Now, we talking about back in 19, like 80 somethings. So $20, especially got home, that was like, yo, you could almost go to alcohol liquor store and almost get you a case right there, which is what he did, by the way. You know, so I didn't help him. I made matters worse. But I gave him $20 and I said to him and bought him some clothes, nice clothes, name brand, you know, boom. He cried. He thanked me. I said, dude, I want you to come home. I'm going to give you a bath and all that. He said, his eyes got big. He's crying and everything. He's happy to have the clothes. Happy to have the $20. His eyes got big. He said, I can't. I said, what do you mean you can't? I'm looking at him like, what the heck is wrong? I'm being Mr. Drummond, you know. Different strokes. I'm bringing, you know, I'm going to turn, you know, turn your life around. What are you talking about? He said, I can't leave my cot. It's garbage in this cot. The $20 I gave you is worth more than everything in this cot. Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm blown away. Are you kidding me? I'm mad at him now, you know. I was going to cuss him out as a Christian. I'm like, $20. Yeah, how much you want me to buy the cart? I can't leave my cart. He said, I can't leave my cart. And I walked away in a daze. I was just really, this was the biggest thing I had ever tried to do for anybody in my life at that time. And I walked away in a daze. But the lesson I learned from that, wow, to him, that was his everything. His cart and whatever junk he had acquired in this cart meant the world to him. He couldn't go in a homeless shelter. He couldn't do anything but sleep in the street because it meant he had to leave his cart. Those were his worldly possessions. To him, that was his everything. And that was his decision that was his everything. Oh, do you hear me talking to you today? It was his decision that cart was his everything. You have made something your everything. And that's your decision. But God want to give you more and take you home and clean you up. But you can't leave your cart. God want to do all those things the scripture promises. Head and not the tail, above and not the blessed going in, blessed coming out. Come on. But you got your cot.
I can't leave my job. I worked hard to get here. Yeah, if I do that, how am I going to eat? I can't do that.
So when God said to me, you're not being patient, you're being complacent. So my home and my cars and my things and my bank account has become my cart. Told you it was going to be a strong word today. So now I'm reevaluating myself right now. I'm at a real crucial point in my life. I sit home with tears running down my face saying, God, I believe, help my unbelief. Get me past this wretched thing I've become, sitting in a palace, living good, blessed in business, wretched, filthy, dirty with my cot. Because I've decided that what you've done is the best you could do. And I'm grateful for everything he's done. Don't get me wrong. I praise God every day for everything, little thing he's done in my life. I take nothing lightly. My wife will tell you, people know me, tell you that brother's forever grateful. But God said, well, you're grateful, but you're stuck. I need you unstuck. I think that's a good place to wrap it up. I could go on, but I think I don't want to overload you. That's a lot today. Who are we really called to be? Are we pursuing it anymore? Have we got comfortable somewhere? Have we parked? With the engine running, talking about we waiting for God to come and put it in gear? Something God said to me many, many years ago, a parked car cannot be steered. Yes, you can. You can turn the wheel. No, you can turn the wheel, but you can't steer it. It has to be moving for the steering wheel to work. You turn left and right, it's still sitting exactly like it is. Until you get it rolling, even just a little bit, that's when that turn of the wheel makes a difference. God said, you can't steer a parked car. You're sitting here trying to turn the wheel and looking in the rearview mirror, you ain't going nowhere. You got to move. You got to go into a place I'll show you. A place whose maker and builder is not man, but God's. You got to let God take you, dare you, challenge you, stretch you, scare you. But you got to be willing to do it. If you're willing, say, I am.
I am.
Now, that sounded so fake. If you're willing, say, I am.
I am.
If you're willing, let God know, I am.
I am.
Amen. Stand with me a minute. Amen. Father God, I come before you with your people. On behalf of your people, on behalf of myself. We want to be all that you've called us to be. We really do. We ask you to forgive us for being complacent and comfortable, lethargic. Father God, give us an empathetic heart toward you, towards the people you called us to. Let not praise and compliment and adulation be our motivation, but let your spirit and your leading and your prompting and your prodding guide us to the things you've called us to. Help us become greater. Help us to become stronger. Help us to get the focus off ourselves and think about how we can help others when we have a need, and then watch you move on our behalf as we're obedient to be a help to others. Father God, we ask for your continued guidance and hand. What can we do for you, Father? It's an old saying, Kenny said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I'm going to ask not what God, what you can do for me, but what I can do for your kingdom. What we can do to be better citizens, better ambassadors, better representatives, a better army, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We thank you, Lord, for each man and woman in this room today. fill us with insights, guidance, and direction, and endow us with a bravery, with a confidence, with a strength. Put in us, Father God, a zeal that we go forward, Father, without fear, but trusting in you. And even if inside our flesh feels fearful or nervous, our faith, our spirit, our confidence in you keeps us strong through it. And we win. We always win in you. And we thank you now for that victory. And we give you all that praise that's due to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your ears. Thank you for your spirit, your time. I pray that you receive something that was fruitful for you. I love you. I love what I do. And I'm grateful. Amen. Amen. Amen.